It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I think your team is built for the cold weather and tough environments in particular.
Yeah, our team is ready to go anywhere, anytime, any place. We're ready to go.
I like him. That's D'Amico Ryans, but I'm not sure I agree with him. He's got a lot to prove, and they do too. C.J. Stroud, when they go outdoors in the playoffs these last 2 years, it's been really, really ugly offensively. And I don't think that's going to change. When I woke up today, Bob, a nice dusting of snow on the ground. I took little Bailey, the tiny dog, out for a walk, and it was freezing with winds blowing in my face. And I thought, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. It's going to be 32 degrees, I think, at kickoff, right at freezing. Going to get down a couple degrees from there. It'll be clear skies, but this is not built for the Texans. There's a reason. There's a reason, and a pretty obvious one, why dome teams in the last decade in the NFL, when they go on the road for cold weather games, if you measure cold weather by under 40 degrees, are 1-14. 1-14. And the Texans, when they get out of that environment in their little dome, or when they go into Indy and play twice a year or once a year in a dome, twice really, when they go to Jacksonville or Jacksonville comes to their place, it's nice and toasty, warm, Bob. The only place they could ever get a cold game is Nashville, maybe once in a while, at least in their division. They don't practice in this stuff. They don't play in this stuff. There's a reason why those teams' records and why the Texans' record is what it is when it gets cold outside and they go on the road. I think that's a big deal. I think T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, Herbig, Harmon, Hayward, who's ever blitzing on a given play, having that extra time because the Texans are in a silent count is a big, huge deal. I do. And I think they're going to win the game tonight, and I think they're going to win it defensively. I think Houston gets a maximum of one touchdown. I think the Steelers win 15-10. And I think the atmosphere, the vibe, the weather, and everything else will have a lot to do with that.
I think the vibe will have a lot to do with it. I think more than anything else, forget the weather, it's how the Steelers start. Beyond everything else, the weather is the weather. It's an intangible thing. We'll see how they adapt to it and if it is a problem. But I think the Steelers have to get a lead here and put pressure on them because their offense is not as good. If their offense is not as good and you're asking it to go and dig out from a hole on the road when that crowd's into it is the whole key to the game to me. They cannot fall behind. They won't be able to overcome a double-digit deficit against this team, at least in my view. So if they can somehow get off to a good first quarter, which has been hard for them over the last several years, they haven't done it, that could set the stage for something good. And while they've been a good second-half team, nobody's been a better second-half team than the Houston Texans, especially in the fourth quarter where they're a plus 78-point differential, number one in the NFL. They get better as the game goes on. Do not fall behind.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned it earlier, though, is that for me, the bottom line in this sport is that if you have the better quarterback, you have a big advantage for very obvious reasons.
No question. And I think there is a big advantage there for the Steelers in this game just because of his experience and what he does and what he exudes that other people on that offense are now taking in.
You have a quarterback on a heater. You have a guy who plays great when it's cold out throughout the course of his career, who can still throw the ball, who can still outthink you. And I think he gives them an advantage. You had the Rams beat the Niners. The Rams had the better quarterback. You had Chicago beat Green Bay. In that game, for sure, Caleb Williams was the better guy when it mattered. You had Josh Allen win against Trevor Lawrence. You had the better quarterback. Brock Purdy wasn't great, but Jalen Hurts and that offense is just broken. You could make a case there that maybe the worst quarterback won. And then Drake May was clearly the better guy. He wasn't great last night, but he was better than the other guy who hasn't done anything in the playoffs. More often than not, the better quarterback simply wins in this sport, right?
No question. It's a big part of what they do. Josh Allen's the biggest example of it in this playoff run. I think he's the one thing that
And what's the only thing that stops him usually every year?
A lot of pressure on defense.
Patrick Mahomes.
Wow. Yes.
A team with maybe a better quarterback Certainly at times he's
been
better.
Those guys are gone. I get it. But normally the way if you look at their losses this year, the way defenses come after him and put pressure on him, it's
for
like
sure.
All these guys. You're not the same quarterback facing pressure.
No, but to the point I was trying to make there
no
is
for him, right.
the better quarterback almost always wins in these situations. And I think the Steelers have the advantage. Maybe you disagree. I say 15-10. And I think with a late touchdown on defense, it could be 22-10. But I'm saying 15-10. I'm giving the Texans about a 40% chance to win. I mean, obviously, they could walk in here with Mike Tomlin's recent history. Aaron Rodgers could have a stinker like he did in Cleveland, even with Metcalf back. Listen, it wouldn't shock me to see the Texans beat them into submission defensively and win by the same score, win 12-11 or 10-7 or something like that. But I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to rise to the moment just enough. I think the defense is going to seize the night 15-10. Bob, what do you got? What's the score?
We haven't talked enough. I say 19-9. I don't think the Texans are going to get anything but 3 field goals.
Wow.
So Fairbairn will have his day where he'll make scores. They won't be able to get in the end zone. And the Steelers will score enough. Not, it won't be impressive necessarily, but it'll be bigger
plays.
It'll
be a Mike Tomlin win.
Yes.
Ugly defense.
Whatever it takes.
Late.
But we haven't talked enough about Metcalf's role in this because I don't know that he's going to have a whole bunch of success statistically, but just his presence there should make a difference for everyone else. It may not be in big numbers, but it'll be critical throws that somebody's open because they're putting a lot of attention on DK Metcalf and should put a lot of attention. And maybe Gainwell.
I agree. And I think you also have to take shots down the field. If for no other reason, of course you want to loosen up the defense, you'd love to hit one of them. But every game I watched this weekend, there were interference calls or non-calls, but there were just taking Joe Flacco specialized in that. And I think Rodgers can do this as well, is put it up there and put pressure on a referee to make a call, right?
Yeah,
and I think Stroud will do it too.
And it works. But I think the Steelers, like I said, get off to a good start. I want to see them just pound the ball. I think their running game has been better as the season's gone along. I don't want them to ignore it. I sometimes think Aaron Rodgers has a different agenda, that he likes to pass the ball more than maybe they like to run it. And maybe that's a little that goes on back and forth between coaches and him.
But isn't that little rinky-dink pass game they have, and I almost mean that
it's
as a compliment.
Extension.
It's a run game.
Right.
It's their run game.
I get it.
A lot.
But I still think they've had a lot of success running the football, at least average per carry. If that works tonight against this team, man, that's the best thing to do. Just feed it as, you know, I'm not saying 100%, but you instead of having 39 and 40 passes attempted against a Cleveland's defense, because this defense is better than that, I'd rather limit that because there are potential problems when you do that down the field with interceptions, even though he's good at not producing them.
I think everybody is pretty aware of Houston's defense, Bob. I think Houston played, everybody saw their...
Stephen Smith is, right? Stephen A. Smith, so he's worried about that.
Yeah.
They won't be able to score much against them.
I think that's pretty much a given that they're going to play great defensively. That is an awesome defense. And people saw them in big games this year. Everybody saw the Thursday night game against Buffalo where they just broke Josh Allen in half. I mean, it was incredible. So I think people are very keen to the fact that Houston could win this game on defense. But you and I have the Steelers. Limits, what's your final score?
Yeah, I have the Steelers winning 21-17. And the thing that really matters to me, guys, in this game is, does Aaron Rodgers have the ball in his hands late in the game? Because I think that if he does, he's going to lead the Steelers on another drive like he did against the Ravens on that touchdown to Calvin Austin, and that will be enough. And if he can do that against an elite number one ranked Houston defense in total yards, you can imagine that Aaron Rodgers could take this team to another playoff victory on the road. I don't think it's completely out of the question. I don't know if I'll predict it, but I will predict that they win this game tonight. The defense does enough against C.J. Stroud, and the offense plays better than many think.
What is it about odds makers who look at them as the worst bet of all the teams that are in this playoff field? Because of the things we just said, I think, check marks in their favor, yet odds makers are not convinced at all that they will even survive tonight. Why?
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
because of the recent playoff history, because of their record, right? I mean, they sort of eked into the playoffs on a missed field goal. They may look at the Steelers as lucky to be here and a team that can't get it done at playoff time, I would imagine.
Okay. I just, again,
which isn't unreasonable either to me.
No, it's not. But I also think they have pieces in place. They're all healthy for the most part. Those who are not out for the year, everyone else is ready to go. It's as healthy as they've been, I think, defensively in the playoffs the last several years. So
that's the big, the quarterback and a healthy defense is the big key for me. You can do whatever you want with no limitations in terms of preparing for this game. And Cam, they're going to destroy the Texans' offensive line, Bob. They will destroy that offensive line up front. C.J. Stroud is going to have to put a team on his back and make tons of great plays for them to win. And while I think he's good, I don't think he's that.
Yeah,
look at what Lamar did. If Lamar doesn't eke out of that sack from Highsmith and Benton, that game's over. You agree?
Yes.
But
absolutely.
He did, because he's very Lamar. Good.
Yeah, I don't think Stroud has the capability of escaping some pressure, but not to the point that Lamar Jackson does. I also think they just don't have enough receivers who can make plays. Nico Collins is their best guy.
Yep.
Yes, Schultz, the tight end, is very good. But those are guys they can account for. Beyond that, they have some people who've been around, but they're not people that would, put any kind of threat in your analysis. I'm not looking at them and saying to myself, well, they're deep in the receiver, and they're not. They're not deep in the running back. Their offensive line has had problems. Of all the defenses or all the offenses available in the NFL playoffs right now, they, to me, are the worst. So that should help the Steelers in their attempt to win this game.
Limits, let's go to the phone lines, shall we?
Yes, the people are buzzing. Let's go to Ryan in New Jersey to chime in.
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Back to the discussion about that throw in the Eagle game yesterday. If you watch the replay, McCafferty could not see the ball. He was kind of turned sideways, sprawling out.
Great catch.
Great catch.
Had to catch it over his back shoulder.
Yeah.
And Jennings got crushed. The Randall L play was great, and it was beautiful. It was a pretty pass, tight spiral. But that was a home crowd. Come on. I mean, like, you saw those animals yesterday. There's video of them throwing beer cans at Niner fans outside, and the cops watching.
And yet Limit scoffed at my opinion when I said it was better. Did you hear him?
I did, Ryan. I scoffed.
He scoffed.
Yes, that was an amazing throw.
I agree with you about those fans, too. I don't understand how that's permissible.
They always are. And that's why I called. It just goes to what I don't like about the Steeler talk for the last 5 years is they have to win a playoff game. They got to win two, I think, at least, because the Eagles are going to fire Sirianni. They wanted to fire him last year before they went on a run.
I don't think they are going to fire him. I don't.
All the talking heads here, Joe, from the people that know usually what's going on back and forth, they're leaning probably 75%. I mean, they're definitely going to fire the offensive coordinator at a minimum.
Has a Super Bowl coach ever been fired the year after going?
It's ridiculous, but, other guys have lost after what have been fired after winning titles. I can think of a few, but not coaches.
What happened to Dan Quinn? Did he survive that? I'm trying to remember. Did he?
Yeah. For a couple more years, yeah.
He went to the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, I can give your baseball reference. Dave Dombrowski won the 2018 World Series, and then his owner fired him less than a year later after building possibly the best baseball team ever that year.
Who's going to win tonight?
I told Bob on Saturday, I like the Steelers' chances. I don't love them. But after watching New England, and they really have not played anybody, they've had as soft as baby poop schedule the entire year. I think if you get past the Texans, you got a chance to maybe – get to the title game, and that is a win. That is a win for the Steelers if they can get to the title game. I don't know if eking one out against the Texans and getting their face ripped off in New England would be a win. I think they got to do a little more than that.
Man, I'll take a win for now. A win means a successful season for me. You, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, just to get to this point, the way you got to have a little luck, and they did last week against Baltimore. I don't think many of us thought that kick was going to go wide right after the fourth down conversion. So they got luck. Now make it stand up and turn it into a little bit of a run. Absolutely.
Twinning is everything.
Here's our guy Troy on Mount Washington to chime in. He's already driving to the game.
Hello, Troy.
Troy, you're late.
I know. I'm getting down here, getting a little virtual session in golf here for a couple hours. Then I'm going to jump over to a bar right before, just make a day out of it.
I like that.
So I agree with you guys, but two points I disagree with. Bob, you say we need to get out to a fast start. Right. Every team would love to get out to a fast start. But we're not talking about the Steelers of past. We're talking about a team that comes out in the third quarter and dominates. We're talking about a team that actually plays well and makes adjustments at halftime in the second half. I know that's crazy, but that is who we are right now. Joe, your score 15-10. This is how you got to look at this game, guys. You know that we're going to have at minimum at least two defensive lapses on the back end of our coverage. So I don't see this grinded out Steelers type of game. I see what we are this year, which is a team that can come back in the second half, someone who can push the ball down the field, and I see us possibly giving up plays that we should not be giving up. But that is just kind of how the Steelers is. I think 21 plus a 24-21, a 21-20 game, something that like that is a little bit more probable. But like Limit said, I want to see. This is just what I want to see.
Duly noted.
I want to see us down, and I want to see Aaron Rodgers with the ball. And if I get this, if I'm standing in the stands and I get to see that, and he finishes it for us,
well, so that's an interesting. Let's just say that happens, Joe. Right? Let's say that we have a minute left. Steelers have one timeout, but they need a touchdown.
Yeah.
Would you want that scenario, even though it's Aaron Rodgers and he's capable against that defense to score?
Because
a
it's Aaron Rodgers
against that.
I mean,
defense.
That's not an ideal scenario by any means, but I'd take Rodgers over Stroud for that scenario.
Yeah, I would too, but that's a big ask. I think at that juncture of a game. That's
look at that guy teeing off behind you, Bob. He looks like you. Pony raised a good point too, Bob.
Where are they playing, by the way?
I don't know, but it's warm and sunny.
It looks nice.
I wish I was there. Stephen A. says he's a Steeler fan. How did he not know you if he's a Steeler fan? That was a salient point by Pony.
Do you know how busy that guy is? He doesn't have time to be looking at things.
I don't know. It stands out to me, Limits, does it not to you?
It does stand out to me. Bob has been the mayor of this city for 40 years in Pittsburgh sports.
I think you should go back there and just make sure that he remembers.
He did his first take show someplace down. I don't know where it was.
It was down at
Corey O'Connor
today.
On the mayor. And then he's over here doing this, and then he's going to go to the game.
Here's a little factoid for you, and this is true. Back when he first started doing, has his show always been First Take, the one on ESPN?
Yeah, it was Skip Bayless originally.
Yes, so, okay.
Right?
So guess who interviewed among Skip Bayless and others for that job?
Ron Cook. He should have taken it.
The reason Ron didn't is because they asked about the NBA, and Ron says, I don't really follow the NBA, and he believes that cost him his job there, because obviously you're going to have NBA talk,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you do. Nationally, you got to know it all.
If you're right? Ron, don't you have to say, yeah, of course, I love the NBA, and I'll be ready. I mean, you know what your topic's going to be that day. You just study it. Ron cost himself millions of dollars. This was like the Andrew McCutchen contract with the Pirates a long time ago. Ron may have cost himself tens of millions of dollars.
All because
Bob.
He doesn't like the NBA.
Right, and doesn't watch it. Can you believe that, Limits? Did you know that little factoid?
I did, and you know, Ron should have just came out and said, yes, the NBA, of course.
Here's a little advice for job interviews. If they ask you something and like, have you ever done, I don't know, Microsoft this or something that, you say yes, and then you learn it, right?
Whatever it is, you have to learn it.
Yes.
And you can't, if you go in there and say, no, I'm not interested.
No,
or, no
I really
I don't
can't
know.
Do that. No, I've never done that. You've done everything. You know everything. You've learned everything.
Yep.
No, maybe not learned everything. I'm willing to learn on the job. But you can't say no. You just can't.
No is like can't. Can't is a word you don't want to say to people when you're trying to get stuff done. You can, you will.
Can you imagine if it was Stephen A. and Ron all these years, Bob?
That would have been interesting.
What would Ron have done on the show, Limits? Can we hear some clips of Stephen A. and Ron?
I legitimately don't know what that would have been like. I don't think I could even picture it.
You're a pathetic. It'll be one.
Stephen A. makes a take and Ron just starts laughing.
That would have been interesting. Yeah, he could have been that guy.
I mean, he truly could have. He feels like he would have gotten the job. All right, because Ron... He used to do the what was the show they had? The Sports Reporters. Ron would do that from time to time.
That was a good show back then. They had a lot of those guys
God,
on.
Bob, don't you wish you were that guy?
Yeah, look at this. It's
look at that.
Obviously
palm trees everywhere
in Hawaii or wherever it is.
I would like to line up just like that guy in the grass in a short sleeve golf shirt and crack that ball and watch it go straight down the fairway. This, not that it would.
This one will, because he's on a professional
team. I wish I was. Look how easy his swing was. Did you see that?
Yeah. But he got a lot. If you look at the
and of course, he's on the green. Look at him.
Yeah, a little left. Not bad.
Would have been an A shot for me.
It's coming. Golf season will be here soon.
Are we taking a Florida golf vacation, Bob? Your treat.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.